Welcome to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. We're two work-from-home entrepreneurs who are laughing our way through life, parenthood, and owning creative businesses.
I'm Katie Day, a photographer, comedy writer, performer, and mom of three with one on the way.
And I'm Shaylee Murphy, a video producer, interior designer, and mom of one. Hey, everybody. Before we get into today's episode, we would like to thank our amazing sponsor, FreshBooks Cloud Accounting. We're in an organizational series, and FreshBooks is one of the best ways out there to organize your bookkeeping and your invoicing for creative entrepreneurs. So if you haven't checked them out, you definitely should. They can help you create and send professional-looking invoices in, like, 30 seconds or less, set up online payments in just a couple clicks and get paid faster. And then also you can see when your client's seen your invoices. So then you can actually send a little reminder through FreshBooks if you want to be passive aggressive. So FreshBooks is offering a 30-day unrestricted free trial to all of our listeners. And to claim it, just go to FreshBooks.com/SK and enter Shaylee and Katie in the How Did You Hear About Us section.
And now a song. Fresh, fresh, fresh your books. Keep your accounting tidy.
Fresh your books. Fresh, fresh, fresh your books. Keep your accounting tidy. Fresh your, fresh your, fresh your books. And get the cash from your clients.
Wow.
What did you say at the end?
I was trying to harmonize, but I didn't know what you were going to say. Hey guys, welcome back to Shaylee and Katie, the podcast. This week we're talking about organizing your entire life still. The whole life. All of it.
Everything.
We have touched on kids stuff, kids toys. We have touched on admin business, your daily tasks. Shaylee killed that last week. Mm-hmm. Loved it. Still thinking about it, Shaylee. Still thinking still thinking about those tasks I still need to complete. today I am going to dive into your whole house, the stuff in your house, and where to even start. If you're feeling like you're having trouble like getting motivated, getting the ball rolling, here's some good practical tips to just get it going, especially when you feel like there's too much to even, like, where to begin. Like, how do I begin?
Can I say something?
Yeah, tell me.
I'm hosting a baby shower on Saturday, and it is currently Thursday?
Yep.
And I need this. I need this.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a tight deadline, but I like it.
Get my stuff in order. It's a tight deadline, but somebody's got to do it.
But you know what? The tight deadlines is what motivates me. It really is. I'm like, okay, I'll do this for 3 days straight without stopping.
Okay.
Okay. So ooh. I am going to be quoting two resources that I found to be life-changing. No pun intended. The first is Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up by Marie Kondo. You've heard me talk about that a lot. The second is New Order by Faye Wolf. And the reason I love that one so much is because it's specifically for creative-minded folks. And it is, I can't really explain. If you're not a creative-minded folk, that may not make any sense to you. But if you are, you'll read it and go, okay. Good. Got this. Okay. Got this. Thanks, cool. Faye. So they have similar strategies. Some of it overlaps. Some of it doesn't. I will say that I found Faye's to be just slightly less intimidating.
That's good.
But both very, very good. So let me just briefly outline how KonMari would tell you to get started, and then I'm going to dive in deeply with how Faye tells us to, okay?
We have to thank our favorite, we'll call it our little sponsor.
A little sponsor? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Our little guy.
Little sponsor.
Sorry, little fake sponsor. This episode is brought to you. This episode is brought to you by
containers.
Shaylee, do you love them?
I love containers.
Do you ever buy a container with no purpose for it, but you figure you'll find one?
I have so many empty containers in my house right now.
You need a container to hold them all?
I need a container to hold all my empty containers because there's nothing that says I'm more organized than I was, like going to Target and buying 6 containers that you don't need or have anything to put into. But it makes you feel like now I'm organized. I got these containers.
Yeah.
And you know what I've been hoarding lately?
What?
File. Those little really
so
cool.
Cute.
Those file accordion little like suitcases.
Yeah, they're like patterned.
I have like 6 of them. Yeah, and I tell myself this one's for Opal's artwork and this one's for greeting cards. This one's for, we'll see.
Right, right. But you really just kind of like looking at them. Yeah, they're cute.
I like looking at them. I like
it's so good.
Them.
It's true.
Okay, so we need some
tagline. Yeah, yeah, for containers.
Okay.
Containers. This one has 17 slots. And I can probably have 17 types of buttons at home, probably. Containers.
Containers. Get a huge one, and then it completely defeats the purpose because you don't even know what's inside of it.
Oh, that's good. Okay, thanks, containers.
And then you just stack them. You just stack them in your basement.
Love
containers.
It.
Containers.
Containers. Okay, so I want to dive in here. Let me outline the KonMari crash course real fast, okay? So if you don't know anything, if you've never heard this term before, it was a very popular book a couple of years ago, and it's called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing by Marie Kondo. Now, it's definitely got a cultural element to it that's super unique and super interesting, but I kind of nerd out on weird stuff, so I was like, okay, I'm on board. Let's do it. So she is a genius. She talks about like her being super interested in the science of organizing, even as a small child. And she has just truly, truly, really thought about this more than you and I or a normal human has ever thought about this before. So rather than us sit and rack our brains, you could just read the book she wrote, which is pretty dang thoughtful. So, her big focus is on, does this spark joy? Because your house should be your sanctuary. It should be a source of gratitude. It should be a source of inspiration and not just filled with objects that you either don't really like, or they're there because someone gave them to you and you feel guilty, or they're there because you're going to fit into it eventually. Anything that strikes a chord of discontent or shame or ungratitude, she wants you to purge all those things, and so then what you're left with are only things that spark joy, and therefore when you're home, you're filled with joy.
Of course.
Her approach is, instead of going room by room, go category by category. So her category she recommends is starting with clothing. So when she says that, she means Shaylee would gather every single piece of clothing that Shaylee has, even if it's in a tub in the attic. Even if it's currently in the dryer, but all clothing goes on the bed all at once so that you can see the sheer volume of it and go in order. And the reason she stumbles upon that in her kind of trial and error process of learning to organize is that she would find herself like organizing a hall closet or organizing like a bathroom drawer, and then the very next day organizing a different bathroom drawer and going, wait a minute, aren't these all the same objects? Wait a minute, didn't I just get rid of a whole bunch of toothpaste, or did I or not? And she just says it's extremely helpful to combine like items, and then you actually know like how many there are of it. Yeah, makes sense.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, clothing is the easiest because a lot of times it's just fact that does not fit. So it's kind of like a good warm-up drill. Her second category is books. Her third category is papers. Now, papers are small but mighty. If you have a lot of them, it takes a lot more time. So that's why clothing is maybe what you want to start with, and you don't want to start with papers because you could get really overwhelmed and you don't make a very big impact. The fourth category is miscellaneous. So anything else that's left that didn't fit into those categories. And then the very, very last, you don't want to touch this until the end, and then it's your treat, is anything momentous or mementos, like sentimental, like keepsakes. Because what usually happens is if you start with the book, the box of old like notes from middle school, you're probably going to sit
all of a sudden
read them.
You have 25 Instagram stories of you in junior high school.
Yes,
and
yes.
No organization.
So don't start with those. I think that's a great tip because I am such a sentimental little sap and I would sit there and read each one. So that can be your treat for when you have done the other four categories. Pick up each item in your hand. If it sparks joy, it stays. If it doesn't, it goes. If it doesn't fit, it goes. Just part with it, say thank you, and send it on its way. That is great, and that is fine. And I did that. I did it with my clothing. The only thing I will say is that it feels like a very long-term project. And it is, and it's fine, and it's totally great. And she even says, like, this might take you a year to go through all of it. and that is totally fine. Faye Wolf, on the other hand, she does a similar type of deciding, but she does actually take it room by room. And I think one of the reasons I like the way she has set it up is because if you think, I have a weekend and I want to tackle this one room, at the end of the weekend, you feel like you finished at least something. Yeah? Like, you feel like you kind of like, I can put a check mark on one thing rather
than
feel like...
Or if you, say, I don't know, have a baby shower at your house in 3 days, you can do the three public rooms.
Right, right. So I think this might be, again, kind of how it is written, particularly for creative folk, because I don't think I'm alone in my personality type, which... If I'm going to get really specific, my Myers-Briggs type is an ENFP, which we are procrastinators, but we also come very alive and energetic before a deadline. So it seems like her approach would fit really well with my motivation style, which is like, I might just really truly do this for 20 hours and then call it done.
Yeah.
Versus KonMari might be more of like a, this whole year I'm going to take this, or this whole month or whatever. But if you combine the two, it's all good. So let's start with Faye Wolf's. And I'm going to read just a little intro of this because I found it really, like, motivating. So she says, what are you looking for? This is her intro. She said, maybe it's your keys or that piece of paper you wrote that important thing on. Or you could have sworn you just bought new shaving cream, but the drugstore bag has straight up disappeared. Before we attack the specifics, let's take a few steps to ask, what are you truly looking for? Perhaps it's something along the lines of sharper clarity or less anxiety or more control of your domain or more time, time that you're not spent looking for stuff, more money not wasted on replacing stuff you can't find or you're just never going to use, a better handle on your many responsibilities or a roadmap for completing your beloved projects, or maybe it's just peace and quiet. Great news, those nuggets you're seeking, they can actually appear in the form of knowing where your keys are, which is inextricably linked to the peace and to the quiet. The work we're about to do isn't just about boring tasks like sorting your bathroom cabinet. As you take this journey, keep your eyes on the bigger prize because you're going to be rewarded. So I love that. It's not just about, I want to know where everything is. It's that because if I know where everything is, it's going to lead to peace. It's going to lead to order. It's going to lead to a house that I'm managing. And when I have more time, then maybe, who knows, I will start painting, or I will, you know, learn the guitar or whatever. The world is my oyster if I can just find my keys. Like, it just kind of, I love that. So she talks about how it's small steps, and she talks about how these are, these are pretty tip heavy. These are pretty specific, but don't get hung up on these. Improvisation is encouraged. If one step seems crazy to you, don't do it. There's no, like, set a timer for 30 minutes, although that's a great tip. But if you need to do it in 10, if you need to do it in 4, that's fine, too. She's like, make it work. So, she does say timers are great, though, which I actually do think they are, too, because you'd be surprised, you know, like, if you say, like, I don't want to do this. Well, set a timer for 10 minutes, and then suddenly the timer will go off, and you'll be like, actually, I'm kind of on a roll.
I can keep going.
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of nice. But the important thing, all of this, is just to just start. So waiting for the perfect moment is equivalent to you're not doing anything about it. So ditch all the excuses and start with really, truly any amount of time that you have. Just start. Okay. Feeling it?
Yep.
Preaching.
Got it. Okay.
Timers are great, but, perfection is going to be your enemy. So perfect is boring. Perfect is unattainable. Your home will never be perfect. So get that out of your head and just start. Okay?
Okay.
We got this.
I want it. I have 3 days for perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's going to be a step closer to perfect in 3 days for sure. For sure.
Okay.
But
okay.
Don't say 3 days isn't enough, so I might as well not bother. Right? Okay.
Right.
So here's how
I'm teetering. I'm teetering on those two right now.
I know. It's really tricky. Try for 10 minutes. Okay. So... she talks about how the first step is to set it up and sort. Okay. So choose one area to tackle. Maybe it's a closet. Maybe it's a surface. Maybe it's like one corner that you always notice collects clutter or whatever. There's no right place to begin. But, I found that if you have a place that's like going to be a really nice, like, I can look at that now. And as I walk by, I go, I did it. I did it. If there's like a place, you know, will make you feel really nice to walk beside, like, I think that's a great place to start. And so she says you need to pick the place you're tackling and then set up a staging area, okay? So this I found to be really brilliant and really helpful because it's really specific, okay? She says you need 5 vessels of some sort. They can be cardboard boxes. They can be laundry baskets. They can be trash bags if you really need to. Those aren't quite as sturdy, but anything. You don't need to go out and buy this. You don't need to spend a lot of time or thought on it. You just need 5 things that contain that can contain other things, okay?
So so vessels or, dare I say, containers?
Containers of any sort. Okay. Any sort at all. But they do not
something
have
to contain your mess. Yeah,
they do not have to match. They do not have to be cute. They can be anything that you can use temporarily for this project.
They do not have to be $14.99 and contain brass and wicker from Target.
Right. And you're not even going to display these. These are a temporary use. So just don't overthink it and free up some space and get it done. And honestly, they can even be piles. They can even be 5 separate piles, designated piles. So don't let this like throw you off and think you need to run to Walmart. Okay. They are going to be labeled these 5 things. Are you ready? Donate.
Mm-hmm.
Trash.
Mm-hmm.
Recycle.
Mm-hmm.
Shred.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite box, and the box I've never made, and it makes complete sense. And the box is called This Goes in Another Room. Doesn't belong in this room. Okay.
Oh.
And the reason that box is so important.
One of them was shred.
Shred. So like if you have like a if you come across
business
like a
document.
Yeah, yeah. Or your or like a social security number or whatever. And that doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to, you don't have to stop and go buy a shredder. It can be something that you just know you need to tear a couple times or whatever. Or those shredding scissors or whatever. Just be smart about the way you dispose of those things is what she's basically saying. Like, you maybe don't want to throw that in with the recycle bin because you'll probably forget. Yeah.
Right.
But the other room's box is so important because if I leave the room I'm in and I go into another room to put it in its spot, it's like, it's over. I start organizing that room, or I found something in that room that I need to bring back into the, it's so true.
That's
it's
so good.
And I think she knows
then
that
you're like, I'm hungry. I want a snack.
Right. And I think that's part of like the reason this is made for a creative person, because I think like my husband would have no problem. He'd like, oh, I'm going to go put that back and I'll be right back. And he would. And I would be like, you know, now that I'm in here, I might rearrange it.
Squirrel. Yeah.
Or, you know, paint it. Anyway, so you need a staging area. She says the best way to label those bins are just post-it notes. Again, don't like stop and make labels. That's insane. Just
don't need washi tape.
Right? Yes. No, you don't need it. Instagram isn't that important. It doesn't need to be that cute for Instagram. It's all good. Put it on a story. It'll disappear. So, yeah.
Along with your dignity.
Right. And then other helpful things that you might need for that, if you can just gotta gather them beforehand, is like your post-its, those containers, obviously, something to write with, and maybe some rubber bands, some scissors, or like a stapler or tape or trash bags. Something where you know, I'm probably going to need these, so I don't want to stop what I'm doing to get them later. But don't let having or like being missing one of those items stop you from starting, because starting is the most important. Right. It's the most important theme of this. Ready?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So she does say, though, that she does this so often that it's such like a staple in her routine that she went ahead and invested in 5 of those collapsible mesh containers, because then they collapse into nothing and she can kind of keep them stored and knows that she does this like on a weekly basis and she can just pop them out. So, but don't like, don't think you have to go buy those to get started, but I think that is pretty cool. That's a cool idea. Things have held. Yeah. So label those, start sorting, and there's 3 steps of sorting according to Faye Wolf. Are you ready? Number 1, pick up the item. And this is where her and Marie Kondo have it in common. Pick it up. Hold it in your hands. It's important. I don't really know why, but touch is one of our human connecting, I don't know. It's a sense. It's what we do. We feel
things. You're
validating
that it's real. It's tangible.
Real.
It's an item.
Yes. And if you touch it, something different is happening than if it's just sitting there and you're looking at it. If you put it in your hand, now Marie Kondo will go as far to say as an actual spark will happen inside you if it fills you with joy. Like you'll kind of go, ooh.
Only if it's a match.
I'm touching it.
Only if you're picking
like
up
it.
A match.
And And if something other than that feeling, like shame or guilt or something like that, you can make a decision and then you put it in one of the bins. The end.
Cool.
That is how you decide. It is three
now,
steps.
Now, we need to jump in and clarify something here, Katie.
Yes, tell me.
These rules do not apply for children.
No. I mean,
you cannot pick up your two-year-old and get a feeling of shame and guilt and put them in the shred bin.
Yes.
Okay.
And ideally, you're getting rid of a lot. Marie Kondo would go as far as to say as you're only keeping the things that spark joy, which means everything you're putting in your hand, you're putting it in there to get rid of. And then the item's going to be like, wait, I'm staying.
Same. The scissors are like, you need me.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I would clarify too, though. It either sparks joy or you just really actually need, you. It's very useful and you need to use it.
Right.
I'm like, this screwdriver doesn't do anything for me. Well, yeah, until you need to screw something.
Well, but then your husband's like, ooh.
Yeah, right. And then Faye Wolf says, the rule for purging is incredibly simple. If you don't super duper love it or use it and would fall into a deep depression if it was gone, then let it go. Move forward with a less cluttered, more blissful life. Cool?
Cool.
Thanks, Faye. I love the way
My mom's
about
having
it.
A garage sale the end of August, and so this is getting me all fired up to just bring a bunch of stuff over to her house.
Just bring it. Okay, so she even asks a couple of follow-up questions, if that is not clear enough for some of my people who are very detail-oriented. So here's some questions. Would you miss it if it was gone? Are you keeping it out of guilt? Are you completely indifferent to it? Do you feel nothing? Would it make someone else happier than it makes you currently? Is it ripped or broken, and are you actually really going to fix it? Really? Really? Are you going to? Would you rather have a better version of it? Did you kind of settle on something that's it's not it? Do you have multiples of the exact same item? What are the chances that you'll need one or four Ethernet cables ever again? What are the chances?
Ooh.
Is it expired? Have you used it in the past year? Or do you want to use it again? Have you worn it in the past year? Does it even fit? Do clothes that don't fit?
That's me hushing you. That's me hushing you. And I want to hear that.
Do clothes that don't fit make you feel bad about yourself? And this, in my case, I'll pause on that because I'll say absolutely it does. And there are certain things that fit that I bought even at a smaller weight that did not flatter my body. And for some reason, I kept it. Or
clothes spark joy, just not when they're on your body.
Right. Yeah.
That's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. That's really cute. It doesn't fit my body shape at all. But on the hanger, I'm going, that's really cute.
I like looking at it.
Yeah. But I don't, because then I'm going, I can't believe I spent that money. I wish I had it. And then there's just like the shame cycle. Or in my case too, I'll find something that is such a good bargain and I'll go, that would look cute if I layered a long sweater over it and maybe like
covered
where it doesn't flatter my love handles or it kind of emphasizes my hips in a weird way. But if I, and then the honest, like the reality of it is like, it's a summer dress. Like you're not going to wear a sweater over it. You're not going to want to.
I call that, it's like the altering you make if you have to make physical alterations, not actually like sewing.
Right.
But if it's the type of thing, like I like it if I wore, it's short, so I'd always have to wear leggings with it. Or right. I like it, but you know, the arms fit me weird and I think it would show sweat stains, so I would always have to have a cardigan with me. Right. And then it's like, okay, that's too much. You know, it's like the Barbie dress where you can't move in it. It's good if you don't live in it.
Right.
It's not worth it to get those. And also, to add into one of the points you were saying about is it broken, I had a really cute coffee cup from Anthropology my mother-in-law got me that I loved and I used every single day. I picked it as my favorite. An opal. Picked it up out of the dishwasher and cracked the little handle off, and so I glued the handle back on and it was working fine, and then I washed it in the dishwasher and this glue came undone and the handle fell back off.
No.
And I just had like a little ceremony and a few private moments with it and threw it away the other day because I was like, Shaylee, you have enough coffee cups, you need to accept that.
I
this
was just
one's
thinking
gone.
How I could not find a coffee cup when I was at your house last.
And I was thinking, maybe I could put, like, plant something in it and keep it outside so the sharp edges won't. And I was like, throw it away, Shaylee.
It's so true. And how do you feel now about it? Are you over it?
It's sad because it's still in there, and I'm thinking about it being sad and lonely. But I'm not going to miss it soon.
Right. No, yeah, that's
And true. I can't fit all my coffee cups in one huge, like, upper cabinet anyway, so...
No, you can't. That was a joke earlier. She has more coffee cups than anyone in the entire world.
I have a lot of coffee cups. Okay.
But they all spark joy.
They do.
So then the other thing is, too, are you keeping it just in case? And so unless we're talking about, like, emergency supplies, that's different. I will say, as an adult, I'm a weird adult. I'm a weird adult because I perform sometimes. And so, therefore, I have a unusual need for costumes on occasion.
Like this feather boa, maybe I'll be a character where I need it.
My friend Sarah Jenkins, who also talked about this topic on the podcast, she said, she sent me a text as she was sorting, too. She was like, the two questions for my KonMari is, does it spark joy or is it a costume? Because I have to have a costume chest.
I might need it.
But I would say my argument to that is... thrift stores are very inexpensive.
Helping the community. You're helping the community.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, if you found yourself in a situation where you needed to source a costume for the whatever bachelorette party that's flapper themed or whatever, the fairy tale thing you're going to with your kids, like, there's probably going to be enough notice. And it's probably going to be kind of fun. I don't know that you need all of those things accessible all the time. Or you can be like me, and I have literally one little red cape that can be a little Red Riding Hood on a moment's notice, and that's the only costume I
Or kept. Superhero.
Or superhero or pirate. It's been all of them, actually.
Wow.
And it takes up no space at all. So I'm like, look, I participated. I'm wearing just like a black and white striped shirt, but I have a cape on.
I'm the Hamburglar. Does he have a cape? I don't think so, actually.
I'm carrying a picnic basket, so now I'm Little Red Riding Hood. Okay? All right? Go with it. No, that was kind of a curmudgeon of me, but really, do you really need to have 30 costume options with, like, as if you're going to need a costume with no notice whatsoever? Like, probably not.
But if costumes spark your joy.
But if costumes spark your joy, keep them all. There's no rules. I mean, these are all rules, but...
These are rules. These are actual practical
These are literal
rules. Literally rules. Okay, so keep going, because my whole house has to be cleaned, so...
Okay, does this thing remind you of a really bad memory? Sometimes we keep things, Ooh. And when we see it, we go, oh, gosh, I don't know why we do it. But you can still say, that memory taught me something, and now I'm moving on, and I'm letting this go. Or... if it's a happy memory, how many other possessions remind you of that exact same happy memory? Did you go to Disney World
and bring... Yeah, you get one.
Yeah, did you go to Disney World and bring home 20 items? Is there one that can represent all of that? Can you ask yourself that in the gift shop before you buy anything? Say, hey, can this very small badge do the same job as this giant sweatshirt?
I don't know. Could you have a picture of your family of seven wearing Mickey Mouse ears instead of actually bringing home seven pairs of Mickey Mouse ears?
Good call. Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah.
I don't have a family of seven, but...
If somebody has a family of seven, they probably can't afford to go to Disney World,
let's be honest. That's very true.
Sorry, families of seven.
Okay, so does this thing represent your true self or tell the truth of who you are? And now let's hit on that for a second, because sometimes we buy things... we're all guilty of this, but like I might even buy something that like... I'll see and be like, oh, this is super cute. This is totally something Shaylee would wear. And I'm kind of like trying on my Shaylee costume. But in reality...
I want it.
Yeah, but in reality, I may put it on and feel a little artificial. Or feel like, I don't feel that comfortable in it. Or I don't feel like it's me or whatever. But you paid money for it, so you justify it. It's okay to say, thanks... This is a KonMari thing, but thank you... She thinks her items in general, like she talks to them. She would talk.
It's a good book. Trust us.
She would talk to the sweater. So we're going to go with that's part of her culture because they honor objects in a really, really dramatic way. But I just think the theme of it is gratitude. So you're saying, thanks for teaching me what does not suit me. You served a purpose in that way. Let's say you cost $20. I paid $20 to learn that this really isn't my style. And that's okay.
Oh.
And so now I've invested $20. I'm donating it or I'm selling it. But if you're not going to sell it, let's be honest, just get rid of it. It's all good. Or I'm asking Shaylee if she would like a double extra large, whatever it is that I bought. do you want a really big dress that doesn't fit you, Shaylee?
Yes, yes, I would.
You probably would, and you'd belt it and make it awesome. and so, and then say, I invested that $20 in educating myself on what is not my style, and I'm moving on. I'm not going to try to I'm not going to try to live with it and feel guilty every time I see it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. P.S. What do you need all this stuff for? Be brutal with yourself. Your life will literally be more joyful. Your life depends on you being brutal with yourself. Okay. And then she says, she has all these funny little pro tips along the way where she's like, empty the pockets of those clothes. Sometimes you'll find some money. I'm like, good point. You can make back some of that $20 if you empty the pockets.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So for the keepers, for some people, letting go is the easy part. For a lot of people, that's the hardest part. But what happens next is, of course, what are you going to do about the stuff you're keeping? So in your staging area, you have this box of keepers, right? And
right.
Or whatever's left is keepers. You would kind of sort those into smaller categories. So these are either items that you use, you actually use, or you super love. That's all you're left with, right? You super love.
Okay.
Or you use them.
Use.
And so really all you're going to do is put like items together. So batteries, staples, like office supplies, whatever.
Right.
Band-Aids and first aid stuff. I mean, it's pretty
not
easy
used,
to start
Band-Aids.
Doing subcategories once you're only left with the items you love and use.
Okay.
Again, use post-it notes to just quickly label those new categories as they come up. Because if you think like, okay, I need a new spot for those now. Okay, where are they going to go? What container are they going to be in? What cute label could I put on them? Like, it's all going to hinder your get or done process. So if you can just put them in a little pile with a temporary post-it note that says office supplies, then as you find more things from more rooms, you'll know exactly how many office supplies you have. And then if you do decide to go get yourself a super cute container, you know what size to get because you know how many things are going to go in it. So that kind of thing. If you want to maybe store it in a clear plastic bag in the meantime or put the post-it on a Ziploc bag or something like that, you might know exactly where you left off if you do need to take a break. So if you can work for one day here and one day next weekend, you won't walk into a room and be like, okay, now what was I doing over here? You can kind of just pick right up where you left off. Yeah.
Okay. I'm literally excited for you to be done with this so that I can go attack my office shelves that are full of clutter.
It is very weirdly motivating to, like, just listen to people talk about being organized. It's so funny.
Right.
Now, Faye has said here, and this is not something Marie has said, so Faye says, maybes are okay. So throughout this process, maybe you might come across a maybe. Yeah. If you kind of know yourself, so if you know you're more of a maybe-er, it's okay to make a maybe pile. Yeah?
Yes.
So then maybe at the end, when you've gotten through all of the objects, you can look back through your maybe pile, and chances are you have been making decisions so quickly for so long, for so many hours at this point, that you can go back through the maybes, and you probably will be able to make a decision at that point.
You're like stone cold. Well, and also I'll say, going back to the end of the maybes, once you kind of know how much stuff you're keeping, putting it in the maybe pile is like a purgatory.
Right.
And then you process through the feelings of feeling like you need to keep it. And then you think, no, I really do need to get rid of that.
Right.
That's fine.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I think the most important part of the purgatory maybe pile is that it keeps you moving. So if you're just like, this book, I don't know.
You could, should like, I read it and decide?
Right.
Yeah.
You could spend, you could stop your progress for 30 minutes and ponder it, or you could just stick it in the maybe pile, come back to it, and suddenly you're maybe more decisive.
Right, right.
So, yeah. And I would like to read just this little part, too, because I think it's really important to remember this. She says, it's okay to keep memorabilia. I wouldn't dare give up the 1970s rainbow mug that I inherited from mom and dad. But it's one mug. It's not 11 mugs. And ultimately, I wouldn't be shattered if it shattered. Because while I love it, and while I love what it represents, it's just a mug. You know? It's just plaster.
Mm.
It's just a thing. And if it shatters, does her mom and dad shatter? Does her memory of them shatter? No, it really doesn't. So it's okay, okay to appreciate things, but they're just things.
So what would you do with, like, an entire collection of National Geographics?
Set them on fire!
That Jonathan inherited when his grandpa sold their house.
Oh, that's very
he
sweet.
Picked. He got to pick one thing, and he goes, I only want one thing. The entire National Geographic's collection from, like, the 50s, 60s, and 70s.
I actually think that's pretty
hundreds.
Cool.
Hundreds. I'm talking cool. Hundreds.
Yeah.
He has a story about how when he was little, he'd look through them at his grandparents' house and he wanted to be a National Geographic photographer, and that's aww what started him into video. But now we have them all.
Yeah.
All of them.
Well, I mean, if it's
so Jonathan's...
You don't
have an answer for that.
If it's Jonathan's
the
thing,
library sparks him joy.
Yeah. Okay. Then maybe you take it as a problem solving and your interior designer ways and come up with the coolest way to display them. I don't know.
I did. Do you want to hear what we did?
What'd you do?
We went to a super old vintagey restaurant, the Heritage Cafeteria here in Springfield, Mo, and we bought the dishwashing trough that was a big metal dishwashing trough that's
cool.
10 foot wide, and that's what they're in downstairs. So it actually looks pretty cool. I was just complaining.
Right. Well, of all the collections to have, at least it's not like, you know, I don't know.
Cubie dolls?
Yeah. Super yeah. Creepy dolls.
Okay.
But
Cupie dolls.
No, I heard what you said and I meant what I said too.
Okay.
So yeah, but I would say, like, if it's your collection and you're trying to decide, if it's something you get to own and make that decision, it's not Jonathan's. I don't know. Is there one of them that can represent that collection would be my gut reaction.
But, right. Or even your top 10.
Yeah, top 10.
Go
whatever.
Crazy.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
But those are fun because they are, I mean, they're historical time markings,
oh,
too.
Oh, Katie.
I don't know. I
no
kind of nerd out about stuff like that, but.
Okay.
You justified.
Next time you come over, we can browse them.
You justified my husband's heirloom in an earlier episode, so now
that's true. That is true.
I would take.
Iron sharpening iron.
I would take yours over my husband's. Anyway. Okay, and so then the other thing, too, if you are super sentimental, but yet you're wanting to get rid of it, take a picture of it. Take a photo, back up the photo, let go of the item.
Okay.
If it's kids' artwork and you're worried because I can't believe it's my kids and how could I ever, take a picture of it. Make a chatbooks out of it. Shaylee, what's our chatbooks code?
Shaylee and Katie.
Yeah, enter Shaylee and Katie in the chatbooks code and you get it for, like, I don't even know, dollars. Like, dollars. You can make a whole little book of artwork. Of your kids. You don't have to necessarily keep all of it or keep some of it and take pictures of the rest, whatever. So now everything you have touched in this room is either in a labeled bin or a pile. And then the next time we continue this series, we will talk about deciding on the new homes for your little beloved keepers, okay? Yeah?
Yay!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decluttering time should end with delivering items that belong in other rooms, reassessing the maybes, and bringing the donations out to the actual car. Yeah.
Oh.
And take the trash out to the curb.
Yeah, because if you put it in your garage, I was, like, dragging out this process, which is so what this book is totally against. And I was like, you could make a pile in your garage, like a transitional space, and then you'll know in 2 weeks if you really wanted it or not. But then 2 weeks turns into 3 months, and then your garage is full of stuff.
Right. Exactly.
Okay, put it in the car.
And then Faye Wolf, who's hilarious, she says, okay, now everything you just learned, forget it, because you don't actually need any of that to make a change. Just walk around your space and get rid of 10 things. Stick them in the bag that says donate, trash, or recycle. It can be that easy. And I was like, good point. Good point. But I do recommend getting this book. It's the easiest, quickest read. It's very like bullet pointy rather than like paragraphs and paragraphs and paragraphs. And again, it's
Let's link it.
It's called New Order, A Decluttering Handbook for Creative Folks and Everyone Else by Faye Wolf. F-A-Y-W-O-L-F. Very cute. And it's
okay. And go to shayleyandkatie.com and we'll link it in those notes where you can actually just click right to it.
Yep. Perfect. And now for our segment. Shaylee, I'm going to give you an object. Okay. Uh-huh. An object you no longer need and that you've decided you're going to part with, and you have to give it a little thank you speech before you get rid of it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. So I see here in your closet you have this holy, not holy like the Lord, but it has holes in it.
Literal holes.
Literal holes in this sweater. It looks kind of like baggy and some of the threads have been pulled out of it, and it's got like a lot of dog hair on it. And on the inside, it says class of 2004. And I think, is this like a Letterman sweater? I don't understand. It's not yours though.
It would have actually, just correction, class of 2005, don't age me.
Okay. Oh, it's my class.
Okay. Oh, I have your class sweatshirt. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I gave it
You gave it to me when you were decluttering. Okay. Yeah. Is that it?
No, it's something. It has some memory attached to it. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's your sweater. So go ahead and give it a thank you speech. It's my class sweater.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, oversized, holy class of 2004 sweater with dog hair. I felt very New York City hip when I wore you with leggings because you were so slouchy. However, I realized that I look 30 pounds heavier when I look back in photos.
True.
Although you feel like a polar bear is hugging me, I no longer am in need of your services. I appreciate you. I validate you. And goodbye.
Oh, wow, Shaylee.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Thank you.
Really good. Really good. Okay. Well, tune in next week where we continue to organize your entire life.
Everything. We do your whole life.
Everything.
Everything. Message us if you have anything you need organized.
I'll read a book about how to do it.
We'll read what someone else wrote about how to do it. You should have reached out to Faye and said, be a guest on
Faye,
the podcast.
Faye, be a guest. I feel like this is our Joanna Faye. Gaines episode where we're like, and then Joanna says, and then Faye says.
And then Joanna says.
Thanks for being
says,
here tonight,
yeah.
Faye. I appreciate it. You're very
Faye.
Quiet.
She's actually, she's on the call. She's just shy.
Yeah, she's super shy. She's like, just read it. I'm too embarrassed. Shaylee and Katie, the podcast was recorded in Springfield, Missouri. Thank you so much for listening. We'd love to hear from you on Instagram, Facebook, and our favorite spot of all, an iTunes review. Also, feel free to email us at shayleeandkatie@gmail.com. We love hearing from you guys. Seriously. We love you.